The word today is baby. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. One of the most famous birth accounts is that of Jesus. Christmas recognizes when Jesus, the eternal Son of God, took on human flesh to eventually bear our sin upon the cross and to rise again. As an infant, Jesus was protected by God the Father and the angels until he was able to fend for himself against Satan. God protects us, too. Here with more on this topic is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Baby.
One of the things that always strikes me about Christmas is that the world tries to make it this fluffy, light, happy-go-lucky kind of thing. And the reality of Christmas was that it was almost a brutally difficult, rough thing. If you actually look at the account of the birth of Jesus in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the Gospels, and they take some time talking about the coming of Jesus, the incarnation, the Son of God taking on human flesh in order to come to this world, frankly, to fight Satan and to win us back, to bring us back from our sins and to give us eternal life. And it's not an easy situation at all. You're going to see in this session together that God has to actually protect Mary and Joseph. He gives warnings because there's individuals trying to kill Jesus. It's quite involved. And so let's take a look at these warnings and how God was protecting the Christ child as he was in this vulnerable state as an infant. God the Father went on the offensive and used his angels and the circumstances, his divine providence, in order to protect Jesus, to get him to the point where he's old enough a man to be able to carry out his task, which was to be our Redeemer. At the account of the coming of Christ in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 and following, it talks about the birth of Jesus, and it's discussing several warnings that angels give. It's interesting how angels show up when something critical is taking place in the plan of salvation. Many people have the wrong impression about angels. They get this idea that they're just flitting around like little cherubs, like fat little things with love arrows, shooting people with love arrows, and silly stuff like that. Angels actually have much more important tasks to do than to waste time. They are messengers, so they come at critical points when humans are confused, when we don't know what's going on, and it pertains to God's direct activity in human affairs. The Lord might send an angel in order to clear things up, in order to guide things. You can almost think of them as our older, more mature spiritual brothers that come in order to make sure that things are going to go right according to God's will. So we see several times here that there's warnings given either through the angels or a dream to Mary and Joseph. For instance, Joseph is confused because Mary is pregnant. He thinks she's a godly girl, and yet she's pregnant, so he's confused. He probably is having a hard time accepting the explanation from Mary that this is of God. And he probably is wrongly concluding that she's making this up and that she had some relationship with someone else. Well, actually, Mary was right. The angel comes to Joseph and encourages him by telling him, it's okay. You can take Mary to be your wife. This is not some story. It's the work of God. And so that heads up or warning to Joseph allows him not to make a critical mistake and to put away Mary and to divorce Mary, even though they were betrothed, they were engaged. And so that keeps the family unit intact as Jesus comes into the world. We also see a warning that is given in regards to the Magi. Now, by the way, the Magi There's an interesting story, actually history, about the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. I was just there about a month ago. I was leading a tour to Bethlehem, and if anyone ever wishes to join us, I might go back and lead another tour of Israel in another couple of years. And so we could generally say maybe around 2024 or something like that, I might be going to Israel. So if you wanted to start saving and planning on a trip to Israel, that'd be fun. But in this Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, it goes back, I believe it dates back to about 300 AD. So it's pretty close in terms of time to the event of the birth of Christ, considering some of the other traditions in regard to Jesus in the Holy Land. And there was on this church, in about 614 or so, the Persians invaded, and they were destroying churches. And they came to the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, and as they went in, they saw that there were characters in Eastern attire, in Persian dress, and they realized that these people are like us, so they didn't destroy the church. Well, who were those people? That was the Magi. Those were the people that were thought to have been astrologers, individuals that were looking into the heavens, and they were led by this incredible star, this cosmic feature that the Lord used to bring them to the birthplace of Jesus. Amazing how the Lord was coordinating all this. And this is something we should have a deep respect for, is the way that God the Father in his wisdom can coordinate all these things that are taking place so profound, so far beyond our own understanding. We're so limited. We're like an animal that has blinders on, and we can only see just what's in front of us. And the Lord has a view of the entire situation. And so that's why it's important to have faith in God, is because we have such limited sight. We can't see into the future. We can't see all of the circumstances. So we have to go based on faith. Similar to Mary and Joseph, they had to trust the message that was given to them and go with it. And that's what we're told with the gospel of Jesus, is that he has come to be our Redeemer, and we are called to trust this and to entrust our future to this. Well, we also see one other warning, and this was given to the Magi, the men that came from the east and asked King Herod, where is this one born king of the Jews? And in the Gospels, it says that Herod was quite disturbed because he was a maniac. He was killing his own family members in order to try to secure his throne. So he was going nuts over the idea that there would be this king of the Jews born. In fact, he was so hate-filled that he eventually slaughtered all of the little boys in Bethlehem up to 2 years old in a futile effort to try to prevent there being a king who could potentially dethrone him. Well, he totally didn't understand it, because Christ came to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And even at Jesus' trial before Pilate, Pilate didn't understand it either when Jesus said, I am a king, and for this reason I came into the world. And the world often mistakes and misunderstands who Jesus is. And the Gospels make it very clear that he's the Son of God and that he came to be our Lord, our Savior. So the Magi went home another way, a different way, and they did not lead Herod to the Christ child. And then there is a warning also given to Joseph and Mary about Herod's murderous intent. He wants to kill all the children. So Joseph and Mary are warned to go to Egypt. That's a long ways. I mean, an entirely different country, hundreds of miles to travel. If you thought it was a long way for Mary and Joseph on foot and donkey to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem, which is about 90 miles, It was multiple times as far to go down to Egypt, but they had to be totally out of the reach of this madman Herod so that he couldn't possibly get at them. So the angel warns Joseph, I believe it's in a dream, to leave, get up, go now. And they have to vacate their home or their property immediately and get down to Egypt. All of these things were coordinated by the Lord, and they were overseen by the angels. And the angels act as messengers in order to guide and to protect Mary and Joseph and the Christ child. So it's really cool the way God the Father is going to make sure he's using the circumstances and his angels to not allow Satan and wicked humans to harm Jesus. Now, there's a lot of comfort in this, too, for us, is because when we're child of God, when we're children of God, the Lord is protecting us for our eternal good. He's not going to let Satan and the world destroy us spiritually. They may try to harm us physically, they may persecute us, but they cannot destroy our salvation in Christ. And this is what Christians have held dear for many, many generations, is the fact that we know we'll have enemies, we know we'll have people that hate us, simply because we love Jesus. But God the Father is going to protect us and shepherd us. He's going to watch that we make it to life eternal. And like Paul the Apostle said, that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's important for us to know. So Christmas doesn't mean convenience. Christmas doesn't mean an easy time. It means the spiritual war when Jesus came into this world to fight Satan and the wicked humans in order to bring us forgiveness of sins and eternal life. I hope that you appreciate looking at these things a little more in depth and have a great appreciation and thankfulness to God, God the Father, for sending his son Jesus in order to be our Savior. He worked everything out according to his goodwill for yours and my benefit, that we might now believe in Jesus Christ, give him the glory, and receive eternal life through him.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at the Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have the Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.